Cross-legged sitting. Being flexible enough to sit cross-legged is a useful skill. You can read, meditate, or just chat to friends in this position. If you are a yoga student, you can chant in this position. Old-fashioned tailors used to sit cross-legged on the floor and raise themselves up and down using only their legs, their hands being full of cloth. This was such a well-recognized activity that the sartorius muscle, which is a long, thin muscle that runs from the front of the pelvic rim diagonally across the thigh to the inside of the knee, was also known as the tailor's muscle. To sit cross-legged with ease, all the muscles of the back and legs need to be free enough to allow flexation at the hips and knees whilst remaining upright through your back and neck. You will need to experiment with books or possibly yoga blocks to get the right height for you. It's more useful to be able to maintain your back easily than it is to try and push your knees down to the floor. So resist that particular end-gaining temptation and make sure you have enough books so the back rim of your pelvis is not collapsed backwards. If you can't tell, ask a friend to tell you if your back is rounded at all. If it is, you don't have enough books. Having got the right height, cross your legs whichever way you wish and however you wish. If you want to tuck your feet right up close to your body, then do so. But if you prefer to have your feet a little further away, then you can do that also. You want to find a situation that doesn't cause you any physical discomfort or strain so that you can work with it. Over a period of time, you will find that inhibition and direction help you free joints and release muscles, and your position will change accordingly. But if you see this as your aim, then you are likely to try and pull yourself into a particular shape and create tension. Rest your hands in your lap or on your knees. Take some time to think about what you don't want, which is the inhibition side of the equation. You don't want to hold your breath, or stiffen your neck, or pull your back down into a slump, or pull your thighs into your pelvis, or narrow your back or your shoulders. What this means is that you want to encourage direction in your body. So you do want your neck to stay free, to lengthen from your sitting bones resting evenly on the ground up through your back to the top of your head, and your shoulders to widen away from each other, and your collarbones to rest evenly on your ribcage. Ask your arms to lengthen out of your shoulders and your hands to lengthen from your wrists to your fingertips, and ask your hip sockets to widen away from each other. Direct your thighs to lengthen from your hips towards your knees. Then direct round the corners of your flexed knees along your calves and shins into your feet. Direct your feet to lengthen and widen, and your toes to lengthen away from your heels. Lengthen up your front from your pubic bone to the underside of your chin and throat. Once more, ask your neck to release and let your head go forward and up, as if drawn up by a magnetic force that is above you and slightly in front of you. Let it happen. Don't force it. Let your breathing come in through your nose and go out through your nose. You can repeat these directions in your own time as often as you wish. When you notice your mind has wandered, gently steer your thinking back to your neck and start from there. You can also use cross-legged sitting to practice the whispered R experiment, which you will find at the end of Chapter 7. This is the end of the talk.